What up, son? It's the tale of the tapes. The fuck life. Saying?
All right, Tale of the Tapes, Season 3, Episode 13. On today's episode, we'll be covering Rex and Lil Romeo. So, I don't have too much to say on either of these guys here today. Rex isn't an overly popular dude, and to be honest with you, I'm not even sure how or where I came across his name, because I don't ever remember hearing his name prior to seeing it on my list that I have. You know, each year when I get up to a year, you know, we're in 2001. So when I listen to the people in 2001, I go through the list and write down everybody in chronological order that came out in 2002. So until I saw this dude's name on that list, I don't remember hearing the name. Obviously, I'm the one that wrote it there, but I just don't really remember exactly how I came across him. I will say this, though. When I went and listened to him to see if he made the cut, which obviously he did since we're covering him here today, I was pleasantly surprised, and although that was literally all I knew of his heading into this, it was a promising sign. You know, I obviously had to keep in mind that I'd never heard of the dude before, but I figured he'd finish somewhere just above the top half, so I'll say somewhere around 100, between 110 or so, right around the 110 mark, I guess. Lil Romeo, on the other hand, I obviously knew of, but only really knew a handful of songs at most. What I did know is he is the son of our current last place finish right now, who is Master P, and he was 11 years old when he came out. So those two things made me inclined to think that we'd probably be getting a bottom 25 finish here for Lil Romeo, but that being said, I've been very badly off with my predictions lately, but either way, both of these artists had their debut albums out in 2001, but Rex was out first, so we'll start off here with him. His birth name is Corey Christie, born August 24th, 1977. Origins listed as Lawrence, Massachusetts, United States. Genres listed as hip-hop, and his years active are listed as 1999 to present. So, nothing all out of the ordinary here, but I do want to just point out that Rex is from the New England area, and I was just commenting recently how I'm surprised more artists haven't come from that area so far in the study. I believe Rex is only about the fourth. I'm not 100% sure on that exact number, so don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's right around there. But one way or the other, that number's finally starting to grow a bit. And I'm actually curious to see if we get more people from the Boston area going forward, because I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I could certainly be wrong. But nonetheless, let's get into some extra background info on Rex here and see what we got. Corey Isaiah Christie, born August 24th, 1977, better known as Rex, is an American rapper. Rex emerged from Lawrence, Massachusetts underground rap scene. His debut underground album, Along Came the Chosen, was released on Brick Records in 2001. Rex has released 8 additional albums and has appeared on various albums and mixtapes. So, we didn't have a massive amount of info to start on this dude, and I'm not sure we really learned anything new at all here, really, to be honest. So, let's just move right on to my write-up of Rex and see how that reads. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure how or when I discovered Rex. While he was definitely good with rhyme schemes and syllables, he also had a lot of run-on bars and took a lot of shortcuts consistently. He didn't have an overabundance of impressive lines, but he did make some powerful points at times and was also good at keeping a topic. Even with all these inconsistencies, the good outweighed the bad and he finished as a good lyricist overall. Rex registered 10 albums for scoring and, ironically enough, was extremely consistent with his album scores. 8 of his 10 albums were great, and the remaining 2 were good albums. Of his 190 song total, 10 were great, another 107 were good, and not a single one was weak. That makes 66% of Rex's songs good or better, which is a tremendous stat. When it came to impact on the hip-hop game, Rex didn't have too much going for him aside from a couple of big features and producers. On top of that, he has yet to influence any other artist to date. While I have noticed that underground rappers tend to sample a bit more, Rex was probably one of the least original underground artists we've covered so far. The amount that he sampled and lines that he took from other artists before him could quite possibly be the highest of anyone covered in the study so far. Most notably, he took an immense amount from Big Pun, 50 Cent, Tupac, Jay-Z, Nas, and Biggie, but also many, many others. While his rhyme style and message were about the only original thing going for him, his tactical slang terms and image weren't overly unique. So, that sounds like a very mixed write-up with some very solid things going for him and some other areas that appeared to be a tiny bit lacking, maybe. So, let's get into the math here and see how that worked out for Rex. Lyrics, he gets a 7, and there's a couple of things to be said here. You know, I want to reiterate what I said in my breakdown, but I want to talk a little bit more and try to explain what I mean. And we've had this scenario with a couple of people before, and I try to go out of my way to explain exactly what I mean. So, listen, 7 is a good lyric score, okay? That's a good score. So, to get a 7 when, you know, like I stated in the write-up, he had a lot of run-on bars, and he took a lot of shortcuts, and he did both of those things pretty consistently. On top of that, he didn't have an overabundance of crazy impressive lines, like not a lot of metaphors, not a lot of punchlines and shit like that. That's not to say he didn't have any, there just wasn't an overabundance of it. He did make some powerful points at times, for sure, and he was good at keeping a topic. But I'm just trying to point out that when you are consistently taking a lot of shortcuts and you consistently have a lot of run-on bars and you still get a lyrical score of a 7, that's extremely impressive. So it just goes to show you how what Rex was good at, he was good with rhyme schemes. He was good with syllables. He, you know, like I said, he did make some powerful points. It was just one of those scenarios where, yes, there was a lot of things going on that prevented him from getting a higher score, but the good consistently outweighed the bad. So the things that he was doing good, he was doing very good, and he was doing them very consistently. So yes, there was definitely give and take, but Rex definitely a good lyricist, no doubt about it. So he gets a lyrical score of a 7 here. Albums, he gets a 5.51 with zero classics, and even though there's zero classics, again, I wanna go over a couple of things here. First of all, when I say classics, we're talking about, technically speaking, the things being ranked on ability to keep topic, original song ideas, your lyrics, just all these things, that anything that can go into a song getting their score raised. So, technically speaking, no classics for Rex, but again, keep in mind, this is not an overly popular dude. This is not a dude that you're going to hear on the radio or that had, you know, a bunch of singles from all of his albums and stuff like that. So 100% of Rex songs are starting out at ones, whereas some people, you know, Jay-Z, Eminem, certain people have certain songs that the songs are starting out at a higher number. That's not to always say that they finish higher, because there's plenty of other people who had certain singles that started out at as a higher number, and they were poor lyrically on them, and they went back down to an average track. So I'm not talking about anywhere where the songs are finishing at the end of the day and what they're being scored at the end of the day, but I'm just saying it's obviously an advantage to have some of your songs starting at a 1.5 as opposed to, you know, some of them or all of them starting at 1, which is the case with Rex. So no, officially no classic albums, but again, we just talked about, he had 10 albums, and 8 of his 10 albums were great albums. So he was consistently great with albums. That 5.51 is a great score overall. So yes, he did have the 2 albums that were good, but I mean, overall, he still averages out to a great album score, and no, he didn't get any extra points for the classics, but I mean, 8 great albums. So he was consistently knocking on that door. Songs, he gets a plus 0.53. Which, it's not major, but it's a half a point. You know, we always say a full point or higher, plus or minus. It really starts to affect the overall score and the final rating and stuff like that. A little over a half a point, but again, if that swings the other way, that's a swing of a full point there, which again, that does start to make a significant impact. So, you know, obviously you want to be getting points where you can be getting points. You don't want to be losing points. Like I said, Rex had a total of 190 songs. 10 of those songs were great, not a single one was weak. So that came to 5.3% of his songs being great, and you slide the decimal point over one place to the left, and that gives you a plus 0.53. So good stuff there in the songs department for Rex. Impact, he gets a 4, and this one was close to a 3.5. I think Rex was saved on this one with... It seems to me that Rex is one of these dudes that if you speak to some people in the hip-hop industry, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, big business execs or anything like that. I'm talking about, like, real hip-hop heads, like, you know, maybe even some old-school dudes from the 80s, 90s, things like that. Just really respected people in the hip-hop industry. A lot of these people fuck with Rex. Like, Rex did songs with some really reputable names. Primo produced a lot of his beats. That's DJ Premier, my bad, for any of you guys who don't know that who that is. But DJ Premier is my personal favorite hip-hop producer of all time. And Rex definitely had a fair amount of songs produced by DJ Premier, who was one half a Gangstar with Guru, who we covered from the 80s. And, I mean, listen, bro, Premier has countless hits with so many people. Jay-Z, M.O.P., just so many people. I'm not even going to sit here and go through that. It's not about DJ Premier, but I'm just trying to make a point that, no, Rex never had that scenario where he was on the radio or he sold a lot of records or he had a big hit single. I'm not saying that he was trying to do that. I'm just pointing out what didn't happen, but it does look like some real hip-hop heads that are in the industry definitely did fuck with Rex, at least to a certain extent. So, is that going to carry him to a great score? No, but it does put a little bit of respect on his name, and it makes you acknowledge that regardless of what some of the outcomes may have been as far as record sales and quote-unquote accomplishments and success and stuff like that, those might not have been outstanding, but when it comes to, you know, fucking with some well-respected dudes in the game and having some people co-sign your name and stuff like that, Rex definitely had a bit going for him there, so I don't want to overlook that. But like I said, it was close to a 3.5, because had it not been for that, he would have been down at a 3.5, because quite frankly, there wasn't really much else there to give him credit for, aside for the fact that he did have 10 albums, you know, he had a fair number of songs, and he was signed to record labels and stuff. It's not like he was just in his house recording the shit like I am. So again, I do want to point out where the separation is and the scores that these people are getting. I can pretty much assure you that I'm not going to be getting anywhere near a 4 in my impact score. So yes, it's below average, but I just want to point out why it's below average and also why it's not lower than that. Originality, he gets a 5, and this is another one that was close. This could have been a 4.5. I think that Rex's overall approach to the hip-hop game and the hip-hop industry and his message and things like that, those were the things that kind of saved him and made me hold at a 5 there. I really didn't want to go below average with him because I didn't want to shit on the image like that of, yo, this dude was super unoriginal, because the majority of what brought him that low, it's not the only thing that brought him that low, but the majority of what brought him that low was really the amount of lines and samples that this guy took. And I'm not saying that he was trying to be sneaky and pass these lines off as his own. That's not what I'm trying to say. He sounded like, for the most part, he was paying homage to probably the people he liked or lines he liked or whatever the case was, using a lot of samples, things like that, which again is pretty common in the underground. It's pretty common to sample in the underground a lot, even if it's not other rappers and it's movies or whatever it may be. But this really was excessive, man. Like, it really, really was excessive. It was at a higher rate than even Jay-Z, and Jay-Z's is excessive. And anybody that pays attention to Jay-Z knows that Jay-Z's is excessive. And I can guarantee you, your average person that just listens to hip-hop and is not a real hip-hop head and wouldn't even call themselves that, but knows Jay-Z and knows, let's say, 20 or 25 Jay-Z songs, and they're like, yeah, no, I know, he repeats a lot of Biggie's lines. No, you don't understand how many lines that man repeated from so, so, so many fucking people. But Jay-Z, on the flip side of that, had a lot of really original song ideas and stuff like that, whereas Rex didn't have quite as many original things to bring him back up to an above average score. But like I said, I didn't want to get overly ridiculous on the dude because he was repeating lines and sampling a lot. But again, there wasn't an overabundance there that was super, super original about him, aside from his message and kind of his rhyme style and stuff like that. So, you know, I thought a 5 was fair. Those things kind of evened each other out. But again, it was another one that was close to a 4.5, but I kept it at a 5. So you add those 5 numbers up and you divide by 5, and that gives you a final rating of 4.41, which puts Rex in 110th place of 228 artists done overall. So that lands Rex pretty much smack in the middle of everyone covered so far, and I do have to point out that I absolutely nailed that prediction. And what's even more impressive is I nailed that prediction off of only hearing one song by this dude ever. So I do got to give myself a pat on the back for that one, because I really have been dreadful with a lot of my predictions. Not only lately, but for the most part of the season, I'd say, to be honest. And honestly, this entire study, I'm not doing too great. Like, I have me and a whole bunch of my friends, my cousins and stuff, predictions written down, and I'm probably doing the worst out of everybody. So I really have had a rough go so far with my predictions, and I'm a little let down, because prior to starting this study, I really thought that I knew what I was talking about, and I knew a lot about hip-hop, and I did, comparatively to your average person. But I knew nothing in comparison to what I know now, and I'm just past the halfway point, so I still got a long way to go. So it's a little bit humbling, a little bit frustrating, because maybe I was being a tiny bit arrogant back in the day, I guess. But, you know, like I said, I still did know more than your average person. But a high percentage of artists covered in the new millennium so far have finished right around the middle, but that percentage has definitely slowed down dramatically the past month or two from how it was in the first 6 weeks or so. I just want to point out here that while this isn't a remarkable finish, it's also not a bad one, especially for someone with a below average score in the impact department. For any artist who's getting less than a 5 in that department and still finishing in the top half of this study, I got to give major props to, flat out, in all honesty. If Rex would have been a little more original, this could have been an even higher finish, as the dude was definitely talented as a rapper. So major shout outs to Rex, no question, man. Now, with Rex completed, we move on to the much more mainstream Little Romeo, who, like I said earlier, also had his debut album out in 2001. Born Percy Romeo Miller, August 19th, 1989, in New Orleans, Louisiana, United States. Other names: Little Romeo, Romeo, Maserati Rome, and Rome. Genres are listed as hip-hop, and his years active are listed as 2000 to present. So, pretty basic stuff there. I personally wasn't familiar with most of those aliases, but was never a Little Romeo fan, so that's not really a major surprise to me, and it's not really overly important, quite frankly. The only other thing I want to point out is that he was born in 89, and his years active are listed as 2000 to present. So, like I said when I was talking in the intro, Little Romeo very young when he started off here. And I'm not 100% sure about this, but I'm pretty sure. And the only reason that I'm even saying this is because it caught my attention. And I feel like, why would it be catching my attention now if it's happened before? It should have caught my attention before. It's pretty bugged out for me to sit here. I mean, I was covering dudes, you know, Sugar Hill Gang, Run DMC came out in 1984. That's the year I was born. So I was sitting here covering dudes in the Sugar Hill Gang, the Furious Five, Run DMC, people that came out before I was even born. And now here I am covering somebody who was born after me. So we've obviously come a long way in the study. I know it's a matter of circumstance because he came out when he was so young, and that's why we got this age here at this point. But it just is pretty bugged out, man, to be at a point now where we've officially covered somebody that was born, not only born after me, but born 5 years after me. So that's pretty wild, but let's check out some additional background info on Romeo here and see if we can learn anything new. Percy Romeo Miller, born August 19th, 1989, also known by his stage name Romeo, formerly Lil Romeo, is an American rapper, actor, and television personality. He gained fame as a rapper in the early 2000s after signing with No Limit Records, then owned by his father, Master P. He soon released his debut single, My Baby, in 2001, which peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. Later the same year, Miller released his debut album, Lil Romeo, which charted the U.S. Billboard 200 at number 6, selling 99,000 copies in its first week and went on to be certified gold. In 2002, Miller released his second album titled Game Time. It charted on the U.S. Billboard 200 at number 33, selling 96,000 copies in its first week. In 2004, Miller released his third album, Romeo Land. It charted on the U.S. Billboard 200 at number 70, selling just 56,000 copies in its first week. In 2006, Miller released his digital album titled Lottery. It was the first album released under the name Romeo. In 2006, Miller released the soundtrack to his film God's Gift. It was his first explicit album. To date, this album has sold over 300,000 copies. In 2017, Miller was drafted and accepted a scholarship to play basketball for the USC Trojans at the University of South Carolina. Miller would play for the team until he was let go before his junior season in 2010. Aside from music, Miller has also worked as an actor beginning in 2002 when Nickelodeon offered him his own show, Romeo. The show ran for 3 seasons. Miller starred in the feature films Jumping the Broom in 2011 and Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection in 2012. Miller founded the record labels Gutter Music, Take a Stand, The Next Generation, and his current label, No Limit Forever Records. So, a decent amount there, some important, some not so much, but I did think that they were all relevant enough to at least stay in there. We did see that while he did have some success as far as his music is concerned, that mostly seemed to die down album by album. On top of that, we see a basketball scholarship in there, which doesn't surprise me as his dad actually played for the Charlotte Hornets in the NBA, I believe. So, although I wasn't aware of that with Romeo getting the college scholarship, like I said, it doesn't really surprise me. I don't know much on Romeo. He also had his own TV show and starred in some movies. And I think all of this is important to note that while, yes, Little Romeo is a rapper, that's not all he is. He's a celebrity, a public figure, an athlete, etc. But whatever he seems to do or pursue, he seems to have a decent amount of success at it. So you got to give the dude credit for that. But let's read up on my synopsis of Romeo and see what I had to say about him as a rapper. It would have been wrong of me to expect much from an 11-year-old who is the son of our last place artist. One thing that stood out as odd to me right away was how contradictory he was with his message from song to song on his first album. That being said, although he was inconsistent lyrically, the bad outweighed the good. He struggled with his flow a bit early on, and a lot of hooks were literal nursery rhymes, while most of his rhymes were simplistic and predictable. While he rarely showed the ability to use rhyme schemes or rhyme a lot of syllables, he commonly used shortcuts, run-on bars, and repeated words rather than rhyming. He was able to keep a topic more often than not, but then again, 90% of his material was about girls. While he rarely had good lines, he did improve on his later stuff. Even still, he reached a lot and had plenty of weak lines, leaving him below average lyrically overall. Romeo only registered 5 albums for scoring. 3 of those 5 were average, with the other 2 being barely good at best. Of his 84 registered songs, none were great, 8 were good, and another 5 were weak. When it came to impact, there was a lot to consider for Little Romeo. Yes, he had some success with a couple of singles and his albums sold decently, but Master P was also his father and he had a big machine behind him. Keeping that in mind, the older he got, the less he sold, generally speaking, and never was able to take the fame he was born into and run with it. On top of that, he only had clear visible influences on Hurricane Chris and possibly a few others. What makes this even worse was how extremely gimmicky his entire brand was, especially early on. The longer his career went on, the more stuff he took from others before him, from beats to samples to direct lines, especially from Lil' Kim. On top of all this, he later started to sound and deliver his rhymes similarly to Jeezy. So, that definitely did not sound like a strong write-up in any fashion for Romeo, so let's not even bother dragging it out and just get right into the math for Romeo and see what the damage is. Lyrics, he gets a 4, and like I said, there was some things that I talked about that, trust me, I understand that he probably wasn't always behind all of these things. Like, when I talked about contradictory with his message from song to song on his first album, I understand as an 11-year-old, you have people guiding you and leading you in a certain direction. I think they did a terrible job. And this is just coming from an objective standpoint, from the outside looking in. There were just a lot of things that, you know, one song, he wants a girlfriend. Another song, he's too young to have a girlfriend. It was just a lot of mixed messages. These are not songs for me, right? So I'm not getting butthurt. I'm not, oh, I don't like this song. It's not making any sense. I'm just calling things for what they are. It was, you know, mixed message, contradictory messages, stuff like that. Whether it was his fault or not, he was doing it. And trust me, I looked into writer's credits and stuff like that. He has the very high majority of writer's credits on the very high majority of his songs and stuff like that. So that's not to say that I expected an 11-year-old to be dope lyrically. Of course I don't. But you don't necessarily have to be bad, right? Like, yeah, being super simplistic and stuff, which he was, that's to be expected of an 11-year-old, right? You're not going to expect complicated rhyme schemes and a lot of syllables and stuff. Like, it's a little kid. You know what I'm saying? I get that. But a lot of the other things didn't necessarily need to be there. And like I said, as he aged, yes, he made improvements. It wasn't that he didn't improve at all. He improved, but even during those periods of improvement, he still reached a lot and had plenty of weak lines and stuff like that. You know, he was able to keep a topic more often than not, but I mean, 90% of his songs were about girls, and I wouldn't even say he was able to keep that topic 100% of the time. So there were just a lot of things there that, you know, hurt him lyrically. And listen, if he didn't improve on his later stuff, he definitely would have been down lower. He definitely would have been down at a 3.5, possibly even closer to a 3. So, like I said, yes, he improved and it helped him, but I mean, he's still getting a below average score of a 4 there lyrically, because even in the stages that he was better, he was still subpar. So he's lucky he even got it back up to a 4, quite frankly. Ooh. Albums, he gets a 3.30 with 0 classics, and like I said, he registered 5 albums for scoring. 3 of those 5 were average, the other 2 were barely good. So, you know, that overall average album score, it's a 3.30, that's an average album score. That's what it comes out to be when you average everything together. So, I mean, listen, it could be worse, obviously, right? He didn't have any weak albums, and he did have the 2 good albums. Like I said, they were barely good. But still, you know, technically speaking, when we're talking about the actual wording here, he did technically have 2 good albums, which is not a really bad percentage out of 5, but you know, the most of his albums were average. His overall album score comes to an average album score. And, I mean, the only thing you can really say positively about that is that he didn't have any weak albums. Songs, he gets a minus 0.60. So, we were just talking about before when Rex got the plus 0.53, how if that swung the other way, it would be a major difference. So, here's a perfect example of that. You got Little Romeo here who gets almost the exact same amount, but he's losing it. So if you look at the difference in the song score between Rex and Little Romeo, it's a 1.13. And we talk about plus or minus a full point starting to make a big difference. So right away, right there, forget about the lyrics and the album score being higher and all that. Just speaking about the song score, you're already talking about something significant right there. So this isn't a major thing here, losing, you know, he loses almost 2/3 of a point. It's not disastrous. But again, swing that the other way. Should he be getting 2/3 of a point? That's a 1.2 difference there. You really would like to be gaining points and not losing points. And after a lyrical score of 4 and an album score of 3.30 with 0 classics, I'm not trying to be a dick here. I'm just saying mathematically he could use all the help he could get. So losing almost 2/3 of a point there in the songs department is definitely not going to help Little Romeo's case here. Impact, he gets a 4, and I really need you guys to take something into consideration here when we're talking about Little Romeo's impact score on the hip-hop game. There's a lot of things to look at. So, yeah, he has a gold album. And, yeah, he had some singles and stuff that sold well. And I'm not trying to speculate here because this is not me making this claim and then turning around and lowering his impact score. I'm going off of results. And the results back this claim. Do we really think that Little Romeo's album sold for any other reasons aside from Master P being his dad and him being an 11-year-old with a big machine behind him? Because if you think they sold for any other reason, you would be proven wrong. Because once those things weren't behind him anymore and he wasn't a little kid anymore, his albums didn't really sell very well. I'm not trying to shit on Little Romeo's album sales here, okay? I don't even do album sales. So this, I don't want anybody taking this the wrong way. The fuck you talking about? He sold 96,000 copies. The fuck did you sell? Nathan. I didn't sell Nathan. But my impact score ain't going to be a 4 either. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, it's not just about the number of records sold. It's about the point that I'm trying to make. I'm trying to paint a picture here for you of, remove the fact that he's an 11-year-old boy who everybody thinks is cute. Remove the fact that Master P is his dad, who's already a well-established mainstream rapper. And remove the fact that he has a giant machine behind him, putting his name everywhere and his album everywhere and his pictures everywhere and his songs everywhere all over the radio and stuff like that, right? I'm trying to say take those away and he doesn't do well. Now, when you take those away, his numbers suffer. So even though his numbers may be astronomical in comparison to somebody like myself, they still suffer when you remove those things. So it does go to show you why his albums were doing so good. Now, that being said, when you say his album's doing so good, I mean, the best album he ever had was a gold album. So it's not like he had a platinum album, and even if that was the case, it's not like he had a whole bunch of them. So, yes, a gold album, but keep that in perspective, bro. There's a lot of things to think about. I mean, he only had 5 albums in total, right? So when you come out as an 11-year-old and you're selling well and then you tail off and you finish with subpar album sales, subpar popularity, and that's it, 5 albums and you're done. I mean, come on, bro. Did you really have that big of an impact on the hip-hop game? And I think you also need to keep in mind, like I said, the only real clear visible influence he had on anybody was on Hurricane Chris. And you have to keep in mind that the same way that you can turn around and say, well, he's got a gold album. Yeah, he does. And it's part of a very big reason, as a matter of fact, why he's at a 4 and not a 3.5 or a 3. But if you're going to look at these things and you're going to acknowledge the fact that he has a gold album, which we are, you then again have to acknowledge the fact that look at all of these things that he did have behind him. The fact that he's an 11-year-old that everybody thinks is cute and Master P's his dad and he's on his record label and, you know, the radio and BET and MTV and whatever, they're all pushing this kid as hard as they can. He still didn't really accomplish very much when you look at it like that. I mean, no platinum albums, only 5 albums in total that went down in sales album by album. So, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to say, and again, I'm not trying to shit on Romeo here because I really don't know what Romeo's life goals were. You know, I can't say that Romeo's life goals were to become the greatest rapper of all time. So, if that's the case, if Romeo just wanted to make some money and set up his future and get out, he's in first place. You understand what I'm saying? If that's what his goal is, and we did a study based on accomplishing your fucking dreams and shit, maybe he would be in first place. But we're doing a study here on how good somebody is, how impactful somebody is, how skillful they are, how original they were, things like that. So when it comes to stuff like that, we're not seeing really positive stuff here from Little Romeo as a rapper. So, you know, I just want you to take all things into consideration when you hear that impact score of a 4, because had it not been for the things that I did consider, like the gold album and stuff like that, it certainly could have been lower. Originality, he gets a 4.5, and this came from a couple of things. I mean, there wasn't really anything overly original about Little Romeo. Now, the fact that he was an 11-year-old rapper, it's certainly not the norm, but it's also not the first. I mean, you had Crisscross, Bow Wow. I don't remember exactly who was out first, Bow Wow or Little Romeo. I could go look into it. It's not that I don't have the information. I just don't remember it right now off the top of my head. But I do know that they were relatively close in time. And like I said, you had Crisscross earlier than that. Again, I don't know what their exact age is. They might have been 12, 13, 10, whatever it was. I'm just pointing out that there have been little kid rappers before. So, yes, it's not the norm. It's not everybody comes out when they're 11 years old, but it's also not something that we've never, ever seen before. On top of that, I mean, there was pretty much nothing original about his content. I mean, it was, for the most part, relevant to an 11-year-old to a certain extent. But like I said, there were a lot of things that were really gimmicky and cringy where it was like, man, I can't believe that. I'm going to put it to you like this. And again, I'm not trying to shit on Romeo or anybody for that matter. But I'm just looking at it in my perspective. I saw a lot of things that if I was Romeo and I grew up and I'm, you know, Romeo's 33 years old now. There's a lot of shit that I would be upset about. Like, yo, why'd you tell me to say that? Or why'd you tell me to do that? Or why'd you let me do that? You know what I'm saying? You have to think about what you're letting a kid do, or what advice you're giving a kid, or what direction you're steering him in. Because, I mean, especially, not only is Master P famous and owns a record label and this and that, and you want to be successful, cool, listen to P. Right? I mean, he knows how to make money one way or the other, no doubt about it. He knows how to be successful. But it's your dad, bro. So of course you're going to do whatever your dad and these big-time people that are around you telling you to do. So again, I can't really place all of this blame on little Romeo. But I have to score little Romeo. I can't take away Master P's originality score because he told little Romeo to do something. You know what I'm saying? So little Romeo really didn't have much going for him as far as originality was concerned. And quite frankly, this was close to being a 4. This could have been down at a 4, but I kept it at a 4.5. But, I mean, even moving on from what we were just talking about, moving on from the gimmicky and the cringy things and the contradictions on the first album and stuff like that, when he started to get older, his sound and stuff started to change. And here's the thing. I'm all for somebody growing. I'm not saying that you got to sound the same at 23 as you did at 11. That's not what I'm trying to say. But if you're being truthful to yourself, you're going to have certain sounds or certain things that you do or don't do. To just all of a sudden turn around and copy what's popular at that time now and sound exactly like that, I can't sit here and say, oh, he found his voice. Well, no, he didn't. He found somebody else's voice. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like he was doing all this gimmicky little kid love, puppy love shit. And then when he grew up, he did a 180 and started doing his own thing and went down some totally other lane. No, okay, that's cool. Change, but change into you. He just started to sound like a lot of the shit that was going on at that time. Started to, you know, use a lot of the same samples in beats and take lines from people. Like I said, he took a lot of lines from Lil' Kim specifically. You know, he started to deliver his rhymes sounding more similar to Jeezy with that drawn out, like, hey, like, it was just, you know, I'll put it to you like this. He was lucky to get the 4.5 and not get it put down to a 4. He was definitely more unoriginal than he was original. And if he comes out with another album that sounds like what's out now, He's probably going to go right down to a 4 for originality. But nonetheless, the scores are what they are right now. So you add those 5 numbers up and you divide by 5. That gives you a final rating of 3.04, which leaves Little Romeo tied for 224th place of 228 artists done overall. So that's an even worse finish than I predicted. I mean, I was right again, and I did nail it. He did finish inside the bottom 25, but that's even worse. I mean, that's bottom 5, you know what I'm saying? And I did that again only off of a handful of songs. One song for Rex and maybe 3 to 5 songs for Romeo at max. Probably not even. I would say 3 songs max for Romeo. And I pretty much nailed both of those predictions. So I don't know that they were insanely out of left field, and it's amazingly surprising that I nailed them, but I'm going to be happy about it because I've been pretty bad with the majority of my predictions so far. So I'm going to enjoy the fruits of my labor here today. For the record, he's in a tie with BG of the Hot Boys down there. And I mean, look, man, I'm just keep it real right now. This finish doesn't surprise me at all, and I'm not sure anyone else should be surprised about it either, quite frankly. When you're the son of a rapper who wasn't good, and you came out at such a young age of 11 years old, I mean, is it realistic to even think that you're going to legitimately be good at anything at 11 years old? Here's the thing. You might be tremendous in comparison to your peers, and that's what makes you great and makes you promising. But to think that you're going to be better than adult professionals at pretty much anything at 11 years old is probably not very realistic. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's just not really very realistic, especially learning from someone who wasn't good. On top of that, when you're born into fame and riches and pursue it at a young age like that, it's very rare that someone's looking to create a respectable legacy and lane in the game. They're probably doing it as a career move to set up their future, so I can't speak for little Romeo or what him and his father's plan was, but I hope they made a lot of money doing it and are both doing okay now, as I know they were beefing recently, which I hate to see, but I've spoken about it time and time again. This industry is disgusting, man. It will leech off you, drain you, sap you till you have absolutely zero left in you, and force you to turn on people you love if you want to continue moving forward and being successful. Should you decide not to do those things and choose the people you love, they'll simply just find somebody else who will do those things. So that's why they call it selling your soul. I mean, it's almost literal. But anyway, man, like I said, I hope that's all straightened out between P and Romeo. Finishing low in this study never means I hate somebody or wish them any ill will or anything like that. And not for nothing, man, but we've spoken about this on many episodes. I was a very big Master P fan in the 90s, so my intention is certainly not to bash Master P or his son, because I actually enjoy a lot of Master P's material, so I wish them nothing but the best regardless. So shoutouts to Little Romeo and the whole No Limit movement. So that officially does it for both of our artists being covered here today on episode 13. However, this is the last episode of the month, so like I told you guys in last week's episode, this week we will be going over all of our lists. So we'll start off as we always do with our top 10% overall, which at this current time happens to be a top 23. In first place, we have Eminem, who's in first place of 228 artists done overall. Behind him is Tech N9ne, who's in second. Directly behind him is Jay-Z in third. Then we got Big Pun in fourth. One Below of Binary Star in fifth. AZ in sixth. Vinny Paz of Jedi Mind Tricks in seventh. Big L in eighth. Nas in ninth. Black Thought of the Roots in tenth. Method Man in 11th, Inspector Deck in 12th, Cannabis in 13th, Killer Priest in 14th, Tupac in 15th, Jadakiss of the Lox in 16th place, Biggie in 17th, DMX in 18th, The Last Emperor in 19th, KRS-One in 20th. We got a tie with Pharoah Monch and Jus Allah of Jedi Mind Tricks, who are both tied for 21st. And then in our 23rd and final spot, we have Talib Kweli, who is in 23rd place of 228 artists done overall. So although neither of the artists from today's episode, or even this entire month, honestly, made this list here today, there's actually been a bunch of changes since the last time that we read this list off, and that's due to a couple of different things, which I'm not going to dive fully into here today because it's not their episode, but I will touch on it briefly because I do like to keep everybody updated. I mean, at this point, there's so many episodes that are outdated, and I'm not going to go back and redo all these episodes, but when something significant happens, I will at least briefly touch on it in random episodes. So, AZ was in 7th place behind Vinny Paz. However, he came out with another album recently that scored as another classic for him, and that was just enough to squeak him just ahead of Vinny Paz. So AZ now in 6th and Vinny Paz in 7th. Black Thought also jumped ahead of Cannabis and Inspector Deck as well as Method Man, as he also came out with an album that was another classic. So that moved him up another 3 spots. Tupac jumped ahead of Jadakiss as Jada registered a song. It was just an average song, but it lowered his song score in total. And if you've been paying attention, Tupac, Jadakiss, and Biggie have been either dead tied or extremely close this entire time. So much so that, yes, a single song could change who beats who. Biggie, on the other hand, had his originality scored lowered and moved down a bit. So those things are what caused the separation between those three guys. Other than that, everything on that list is the same, but I did want to briefly just touch on some of the moves we had, especially considering no one recent has made this list, and I figured there wasn't really anything else to discuss here today, so let's move right into our top 10% lyrical list now. In first place, we have Eminem, who got a lyrical score of 9.5. In a tie behind him, we have One Below of Binary Star and Tech 9, who both got lyrical scores of 9. In a five-way tie for fourth place behind them, we have Pharoah Monch, Black Thought of the Roots, Nas, AZ, and Vinny Paz of Jedi Mind Tricks, who all got lyrical scores of 8.5. Behind them in ninth, we have another five-way tie between Method Man, Jay-Z, Big Pun, Cannabis, and The Last Emperor, who all got lyrical scores of 8. Behind them, we have a six-way tie for 14th place between Master Ace, GZA, Common, Big L, Talib Kweli, Esoteric, and Inspector Deck, who all got lyrical scores of 7.5. And then in a 14-way tie for our 21st and final spot, we have KRS-One, Kool G Rap, Lord Finesse, Sean Price of Helter Skelter, Slug of Atmosphere, Jadakiss of the Lox, Killer Priest, Benefit, Ludacris, Brother Ali, Sauce Money, Cuban Link, Necro, and Rex, who all got lyrical scores of 7. So we do have two additions to this list since the last time we read it off in Necro, who was covered a couple of weeks ago in episode 10, and Rex, who we obviously covered here today. So at least one list cracked by one of these artists here today. Both of our new additions got a lyrical score of 7 and are tied for our 21st and final spot on the current version of the list. So now let's get into our particular decades list, starting with our 80s decade. So your top 5 artists to come out in the 80s are KRS-One, Slick Rick, Rakim, Rev Run of Run DMC, and LL Cool J. So as usual, no changes to this list today. However, I do believe that Kool G Rap recently came out with another album that I will be listening to and scoring over the summer. Now, Kool G Rap is definitely capable of not only raising most of his scores, but dropping a classic album. So, should this last album be a classic, we could definitely see Kool G Rap slide into this list here. And how fucking wild would that be, not only to even have LL Cool J not in the top 5 rappers of the 80s, but to have him ousted as far forward as 2023. That's an absolutely wild statistic. To have somebody be one of the greatest rappers of the 80s, or their generation, for nearly 40 years. And then in the 2020s, one of these 80s rappers is still going and passes him. I mean, who the hell could have even predicted that any of these guys would still be making music that far into the future? And he's not the only one, man. KRS-One's still putting out quality material and so on. So, there's 80s cats really making a name for themselves, even currently. And I love seeing that. They've really been stepping their game up. And I give them a ton of credit. But, yeah, man, wild stuff there. And I obviously don't know what will or won't happen. I'm just speculating. But exciting stuff to look forward there for sure. For now, let's check out our 90s decade list, which hasn't changed at all yet since we finished the 90s. So your top 5 artists to come out in the 90s so far are Eminem, Tech 9, Jay-Z, Big Pun, and One Below of Binary Star. So this one stays the same again here today, and like I said, it's very possible this list never changes, so we'll have to see. But now for only the second time this season, let's check out our top 5 artists of the new millennium thus far, and I definitely expect there to be changes in this one today, and I'm not only excited to go over this list because we don't do them that often anymore, but I'm curious to see how different it looks from the last time we read it off. So let's get into our top 5 artists of the new millennium so far. In your top spot, we have The Last Emperor. In second place, Con Artist of D12. In third place, Swifty McVay of D12. In fourth place, Necro, and in fifth place, Cuban Link. So, as I predicted, a lot of changes to this list today. As a matter of fact, maybe even more so than I expected, and a lot to talk about here. So, only 2 people from the last time we read this list are even in it anymore, and only one of them is in the same spot. The Last Emperor stays in first, and while Cuban Link stays in this list, today he hangs on to our fifth and final spot, whereas last month he was in second place behind The Last Emperor. Con Artist and Swifty McVeigh of D12 both pass him here, and so does Necro, as much as that pains me to say. I really do wish Necro's name would just be wiped from all these lists, but the math is what it is. So, not only does that put Cuban Link in our last spot of our top five artists of the new millennium, but it completely slides out Brother Ali, 50 Cent, and Stickman of Dead Prez. And to be quite honest with you, all three of those pain me, as I kind of liked all three of those dudes, so I'm not overly thrilled about the alterations to this list here today, but it is what it is, man, and that's how they'll stay for now. So let's move on to our regional lists. We're going to start with our East Coast. So your top three artists to come out of the East Coast thus far are Jay-Z from Brooklyn, New York. In second place, Big Pun from the Bronx, New York. And in third, Vinnie Paz of Jedi Mind Tricks from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Moving across the country to the West Coast, in your top spot, we got Tupac from Marin County, California. Behind him is Razzcast from Carson, California. And in our last and final spot, we got Ice Cube of NWA from Los Angeles, California. Moving down south, your number one artist to come out of the south so far is Benefit from Florida. In second place, Ludacris from Atlanta, Georgia. And in third place, Lil Wayne from New Orleans, Louisiana. Moving over to our Midwest, your top artist to come out of the Midwest thus far is Eminem from Detroit, Michigan. In second place, we got Tech N9ne from Kansas City, Missouri. And in our third and final spot, One Below of Binary Star from Pontiac, Michigan. So, no changes in this one here today, and quite frankly, man, like I said, aside from the West and the South lists, those East Coast and Midwest lists are going to be ridiculously hard to crack. I mean, the Midwest has three of the top five rappers overall, and the East has three of the top six overall. So, unless you're a GOAT, you're basically just not touching either of those lists, as absurd as that sounds. But again, it is what it is. So that leaves us with only one list left here today, which would be our newest list of the top three female MCs so far. So in our top spot, we have Eve, who's in 74th place. In second, we have Queen Latifah, who's in 92nd place. And in third, we have MC Lyte, who's tied for 93rd place. So no changes to this one here either today, and I'm not sure that I really expect changes anytime soon to this list. I mean, it's not only about my opinion on female rappers, but quite frankly that there just isn't that many of them. So I really only do one every couple of years, I would say, whereas there's 10 to 15 males a year. That being said, this is not the way I expect this final list to read when all is said and done. So a bit hit or miss with our list here today. Some had changes, some didn't, but that top five artists of the new millennium definitely saw some major changes, and although I definitely expect there to be more changes to that list next time we read it off, I do think that soon those changes are going to start to become more and more rare, you know, maybe after like the summer break or something like that, which is wild that that's actually, you know, not even that far away at this point. Time fucking flying here, but we'll have to stay tuned at least until we read off these lists again next month in April. In the meantime, if you'd like to see any of the lists involved with this podcast, they are all in writing on the Tale of the Tapes Facebook page. If you're interested, the Facebook page is www.facebook.com/Tale of the Tapes Podcast. You can give that page a like and a follow to stay up to date, interact with the podcast. You can give your own ideas and your own predictions and stuff like that. You can also give the host website a visit at www.anchor.fm/Tale of the Tapes. Both of those links are spelled completely normally. On that host site, you see a support button. Greatly appreciate any of the support and the help that I get. Thank you very much for that. Always a somewhat exciting episode when we get to go over our list, regardless of the artists covered on that episode, because it's only getting done once a month at this point, so it's always dope to see if anybody from that month was able to crack any of the lists, because we cover X amount of artists and then don't always get to hear right away whether they wound up on any of these lists or not, but even so, not a bad showing from Rex here today, who was at least able to crack our top lyricist list, but that's going to do it for today's episode. Next week, on episode 14, we'll be covering Cormega and Young Jeezy, And that one I can pretty much guarantee you is going to be an eventful episode. So I'm excited for that one for more reasons than one. Tune in to see the surprise. Until next week, Tale of the Tapes. Peace.
Tale of the Tapes. Might as well.